We'll sing one more as we worship His Majesty. Number 32. He is our King, and His name is Majestic. His Majesty, unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His home, His anthem praise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His horn, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified. Good morning. Good to see everybody here today. Welcome on a beautiful, beautiful morning. It is, and we praise the Lord for that. Just some announcements that I have to go over before we go on with our worship service. We do have coffee hour today following, so a time of fellowship in the social hall, and hopefully many of you can join us for that. Today is also Conference Sunday, so what does that mean? Well, one thing it means is that our offering today goes to the four C's, the Conservative Congregational Christian Conference that we are a part of since January of 2006, actually. So the checks can just be made to the church, as always, if that's how you're giving, and we'll send one check on. And it also means that we pray. We pray for our conference minister, Ron Hamilton, who is a wonderful man and a blessing that we have to have him as our conference minister. The women of the church last year didn't get to have a salad supper, but this year we are. So praise the Lord for that. There's an announcement in the bulletin. The date is on May 19th, which is a Wednesday evening. There's a sign-up sheet on the information cabinet in the narthex for you to sign up if you're coming and if you're bringing guests with you. I suppose we need to get a sign-up sheet for men that want to help wash dishes, right? We usually do that. We'll try to get that by next Sunday out there. Vacation Bible School, again, it's coming. We have the helpers all lined up. We have a big group of kids this year, which is wonderful. But what the new sign-up sheets that are out there against the west wall are for the snacks. that are needed each evening. So if you haven't looked at that and you can help with some of those items, please check that out after church today. I think the last announcement I have is regarding our graduates. Normally, we've honored our graduates after Vacation Bible School and when we have that potluck dinner after the program, but we're changing it up this year to hopefully try and get more of them here. So that will be next Sunday for 8th grade high school graduates. You'll get a little Bible presented to you next Sunday and then at college graduates. So keep that in mind. I know it's short notice, but we just had Christian Ed meeting last Sunday. So that will be next Sunday that we will honor the graduates in church. The rest of the announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be here as always, to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ in this sanctuary, in your presence, where there is fullness of joy and where at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And Lord, we know we only get to experience just a part of the fullness of your presence compared to those that have gone on to heaven before us, who are seeing you in all of your glory and power and majesty. So we thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you for filling this sanctuary with your glory and your power and your majesty. And we ask, Father, that you would move among us by the power of your Spirit. Those that are gathered here, those that are not able to be here today for various reasons, who will watch the service later, fill their homes with the power of your Spirit as well. We come to worship you, Lord God Almighty, in spirit and in truth, and we praise your name. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number 12 will be our opening hymn. If you want to stand together, the words will be on the screen or in your hymn book, whichever you prefer. Praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, oh earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love abounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Praise him, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Amen. And so we do. And we have that responsive psalm, Joni. I was supposed to do that before the hymn, and I forgot it. There we go. This is from Psalm 18, portions of it. We'll all begin with the first part, and then I'll go, and you'll go. So let's say this together to the Lord. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. And then together. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Amen. Now you can greet each other however you desire before you're seated, please. Sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. Some things, as usual, that I have down. First, prayers for Ann Ramus' mom, Marge Seiler. She has spent some days in the Scotland Hospital this week and is still there. Some problems related to her liver function, I guess, would be the best way to say it. Okay. So prayers for her. Also, our Nathan, we'll be celebrating his 40th birthday on Friday. Can you believe it? So, we do have some cupcakes that we asked Carrie to make for the coffee hour that as part of that. So, happy birthday to Nathan. My goodness. Some other updates here. Prayers for Milo Houck. He's been at McKinnon Hospital since Tuesday evening. I'll say it that way. We did get to see him yesterday on the way home from the wedding that I had Friday at Spearfish. Came home yesterday and went straight to Sioux Falls and had a good visit with him. Apparently, things have taken a turn for the worse, sounds like, this morning. So I don't know a lot of details. This time he was in issues related to the prostate cancer. So, okay, just keep Marilee and him lifted up in your prayers. Also, let me go on. Continued prayers for Frida. She's at home on hospice care and just sort of hanging in there, I guess. Holding steady maybe would be a way. She'd love a visit. If you want to call or something, you sure can. Prayers for Lee and Pat Palmerville. Pat has had some more struggles this week. Thought she was going to have to go into the hospital, but did not. They're able, trying to manage things with the IV antibiotics for her. Also, Joy Haas, which is why we were out in the hills for Tyson's wedding on Friday that I did. Yesterday was sort of their free day, and they were apparently one place they were at was at the fish hatchery in Spearfish or near Spearfish, wherever that is. And she got bit by a dog in the parking lot, right on, I don't know if it's right or left wrist, but it has two big puncture wounds on top and on the bottom. So prayers for her. The owner of the dog was there, but the dog still has to be tested, of course, for rabies. So we trust that he does not, the dog does not have rabies. Last thing I wanted to mention, Galen Schaefer, most of you know Galen from our community, his son Travis, his wife Jessica, okay, they live in Tabor, and Jessica, who's just in her 30s, was diagnosed with a type of, I think they're calling it a type of lung cancer, but it has spread elsewhere to her body. So prayers for them during this time as they're still in discussion of treatment and everything there. That's Travis and Jessica Schaefer. Okay, so anything else that we might have? How about on this side? Good to see Jerry's brother and wife here from Wyoming, right? Yeah, welcome to you guys. Anybody else? Okay, over here. Yes, Bo. Grandpa's birthday was that Friday? Thursday, Ron Guthmiller's birthday. Hiding back there, aren't you, Ron? Happy birthday to you, Ron Guthmiller. Thanks, Bo. Yeah. Yeah.
The doctor said he's a miracle child because some can't walk after that or they can't talk and he can do both. He just has one eye that has 20/20 vision. He does not have 20/20 vision.
Okay. All right. Usually I'm so good at names and I'm drawing a total blank.
His name is Brandon.
Brandon, yeah. This little grandson here that we have been praying for who had that brain tumor. The doctor has said he's a miracle child and is doing so well and a little trouble with one eye, right? But the other is 20/20 vision. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Brandon. That's wonderful news. Is that McKinley? Okay. Yeah, Mark and Emily Guthmiller's 10th anniversary was Friday. Happy anniversary to them. Oh, okay. Who's Andrew? On Thursday? Grace Nuss's birthday is on Thursday. Happy birthday to you, Grace. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we have so much to praise you for. We thank you for Diane's grandson here that had that good report from the doctor after finding what is always a scary thing, a brain tumor. And we just praise you, Lord. As the doctor said, he's a miracle child. And we thank you for what medical science can do, Lord. The wisdom that they have is all from you. But we thank you for your power working there as well. And we just rejoice with Diane and the family, Lord, through this time. Father, we thank you for birthdays and anniversaries here that were mentioned for each of these individuals and couples and the blessing that they are to all of us in many ways. We want to pray for Joy Haas. Lord, is just a very unfortunate event there yesterday, getting bit by that dog, and we pray that it did not have rabies. We pray, Lord, for your healing touch through those four puncture wounds there in her arm, and for their entire family, that you bring them all home safely as they are traveling back to their places of where they live, here in South Dakota, Nebraska, Colorado, and beyond, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, these other situations that we lift up to you, we thank you for Marge Seiler there in the Scotland Hospital. We thank you that it seems that there have been some improvements for her, and we pray that that continues. For Frida, we continue to lift up her, Lord, as she is just pretty much as joyful as always as who she is. And thank you for helping her to keep comfortable there at home and for the family and friends who go to assist day in and day out as she is there at home on hospice. We pray for Lee and Pat Palmerville and ask for your strength to them during this time. Also for Travis and his wife Jessica Schaefer with the cancer diagnosis. Lord, at a young age, we just lift her up to you and we surround them with our prayers and we pray for wisdom for the journey that lies ahead and ask for your healing touch throughout their being. Lord, we pray for Milo. Father, we just lift him before your throne and for Marilee too as she was called up there this morning. Thank you that you are our God and Father. That, Lord, you are our only comfort in life and in death. We know that. And we look to you for comfort and strength and wisdom for Milo and Marilee today and in the days to come. We thank you for filling that room with your presence, Lord. Your wonderful presence. Give them peace during this time for decisions that have to be made. Thank you for carrying them in your everlasting arms. Lord, for this season of planting that we're in right now, you've given us some very beautiful weather, temperatures to warm the soil, and we're grateful for that. Be with all who are busy in that process, and we ask your hand of protection upon them through the long and extra hours. We don't just pray for them alone, Lord. We pray for all who help. We ask for the moisture to come at the right time and the right amounts. We pray for, Lord, all who work in our community and in the surrounding areas, whether it's healthcare, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's teaching, whatever it might be, all the various jobs that are represented in this congregation. Keep everyone safe, we pray. And as we pray, Lord, always we pray for our nation, the desperate healing that we are in need of, Father. Healing from above, healing of lives, hearts to be changed, Lord, that we could be a nation that does live as we confess one nation under God. Forgive us of our sin, our sins which are many. Have mercy upon us. Bring revival to this land, we pray. And we pray for our troops, Lord. We're so thankful for those that serve you so faithfully here at home, whether it's full-time, whether it's in the Guards, as this is their weekend, whether it's overseas in Africa or whatever part of our world they serve in. Keep them safe and be with their families and loved ones who are not able to be with them. Each and every day, we thank you for these things, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read from Psalm 92, starting in verse 12. It says this, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him.'" Let's stand as we sing the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And we do praise you, Father. As we sang the opening hymn, for all those reasons and so many more, we have to praise you for your excellent greatness. We praise you that you are our rock, that you never change, and we stand upon you and upon your word, no matter what happens around us. So thank you, Lord, as we give our offerings and our tithes to you. We give joyfully, Lord, not grudgingly, not out of necessity or compulsion. For as your word says, you love a cheerful giver, and we are happy to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we confess now our faith together before you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. I forgot to mention also, it's good to have Arlen's daughter, Jamie, and two of her granddaughters with us today, too, Zoe and Sienna.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Good to see you all here today. Well, we were talking last week about things that change. And I brought this really cool thing today that actually I borrowed from Mara Lee. And this is called a kaleidoscope. But I had never seen one like this. Do you guys know what a kaleidoscope is?
Yeah.
You know, it's that tube. Tell us what it is, Raylan. You look through a tube with one eye and you twist it, and what happened? There's different designs. And are the designs the same? No, and it's like you look in this as a kaleidoscope, too. This is really a different kind. You put this in here and you look in here, and oh my gosh, it's beautiful. So let's see. How about the kindergarten kids? Are anybody in kindergarten in here? Come down here. I'm going to let you look, okay? I can't let everybody look. You're the only one in kindergarten? All right, look in there. Do you see that? Okay. Well, she went back already. Do you see? What do you see, Ayla? Lights, little designs, do they change? It's like you see one that's so beautiful, but then you can't see it again because it changes. Now, all of you, I'll let you have a chance to look at this after church, okay? During coffee hour, I'll be sitting at a table and you can come look at this. But this reminds me of other things that change.
I didn't do that.
Yeah, are you in kindergarten? You are? Okay. All right, we'll let you look at it. You're probably going to be next year. Do you see it? Do you see designs in there? And they change, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, okay. And I'll let other people see that, too. Well, other things change, too. We talked about last week, and one thing for sure changes, and that's the weather. You know, we were in the hills. We'll let you see it later, okay? We were in the hills the last few days in Spearfish Canyon. Joni is going to show us a picture, maybe? Yeah, actually, this, you can't, it's hard to see it, because the pictures that I took, I didn't have these up. But this is a picture in Spearfish Canyon, and if you can look really closely with your eyes, you see pine trees that are really tall, right? And that's how it was over a year ago. A year ago in this Spearfish Canyon area, the trees were beautiful and tall, and they were just majestic. And then you know what happened? A tornado came. Our tornado came to Spearfish Canyon. There is a picture of a tornado in the middle. It was like after a week when Mike and our family were out there together. A week later, this tornado came through. And then look at this, the trees now. Can you see them? It's really hard. Anyway, the tops of them are broken off. We were driving through Spearfish Canyon. And we were like, what happened? Was it a fire? No, we had heard it was a tornado. Trees were down, still down, and roots were up, and tops of trees were gone. Things change, don't they? Things always change in our life. They can change every single day. But do you know what? The Word of God in Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what we face, no matter how the weather changes, or our life changes, or our size changes, or our clothes change, or our friends change, or your health changes, or somebody you know, your grandparents, or somebody you know that is sick and now they're sicker, things change, don't they? But who never changes? God never changes. And we know that by looking at His Word. Who loves us and created us? God did. Who promises to never leave us? God and Jesus. Who promises that they hear us when we pray? God. Who will comfort us? God. Who will help us? God. No matter what we face, today, tomorrow, or in the future, God is always with us. And we need to hold on to that and to remember that. Because like I said, just like those trees, they were beautiful and they still are very beautiful in other areas and there, but they are changed. They change by a tornado. We never know what's going to happen, but Jesus never changes, and we hold on to Him. He will help us through whatever it is that we go through. Okay? Who's going to be our helper?
God.
Who never changes?
God.
We're going to remember that, okay? Let's pray. God, 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 God. That's the answer. Okay, let's pray. Father, we worship You and love You. We thank You that You never change. And we thank You that You live in us through the Holy Spirit. Help us all as children and adults to hold on to that no matter what happens, no matter how our lives may rock or the world around us. Things change, but You never do. Your love for us, Your plan for us, and You have a plan for these boys and girls. Help them to be the light wherever they go this week to tell others about Jesus and that You never change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you want to look at that kaleidoscope after church, I'll be sitting at a table, okay? Okay.
Thank you, Anne. Let's sing number 633 while the children are going back to their seats. Open our eyes, Lord. Let's bow in prayer once more, please. Heavenly Father, that is our prayer. Always as we look into Your Word, that You open our eyes, give us revelation knowledge by the Spirit of God as we do look into Your Word, that You open our ears to hear, to help us to listen to what You are proclaiming to us. We thank You, Father, for Your patience for every one of us, for Your mercies that are new every morning, for the work and power of Your Spirit in our lives. I ask, Lord, that You would speak through me by Your Spirit to those gathered here today, and I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in a portion of Psalm 78 this morning. Theme is continuing on from last Sunday that God never changes. The big word for that is He is immutable. Immutable. He does not change. So this is in the middle of Psalm 78. Sorry about that, but it is a long chapter. It is 72 verses. It'd be wonderful for you to read it this afternoon, the entire psalm, as you have time to do that. But we're just going to focus on a few verses today. Starting in verse 32, it says this: "In spite of all this, they kept on sinning. In spite of his wonders, they did not believe. So he ended their days in futility and their years in terror. Whenever God slew them, they would seek him. They eagerly turned to him again. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. But then they would flatter him with their mouths, lying to him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Yet he was merciful. He atoned for their iniquities and did not destroy them. Time after time he restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a passing breeze that does not return." Amen. So just a little review, first of all, from last Sunday there. As I said just moments ago, God is immutable. He does not change. We looked at several verses of Scripture about that, where he proclaims it. And I hope, I would think we all know this, but we need to be reminded of it in the days in which we live. Things are changing all around us, and things always have been changing. But sometimes the days can seem a little crazier than others. And I think we would all agree we're in sort of a crazy time. We have been in our world. And so we got to know he is our rock. Things that change that we don't like around us, sometimes we feel helpless almost to do anything about it. He never changes. And so that word immutable defined, I had this last Sunday in your insert, but again, it means God is unchanging in his being. That's your first blank. In his being, that's who he is. He cannot change. In his perfections, in his purposes, in his promises, that's his word. He does not, he cannot change. And so his immutable character, as we looked last Sunday, it's clearly declared throughout Scripture many places. I'll just read part of Psalm 102. That's where we were last week. The psalmist said, "In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, and they will. The mountains, as solid as they look, they change. The formations, earthquakes, change them, don't they? But it says, they will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. God will change them. And they will be discarded, but you remain the same." Two times he says that. Well, I mentioned this, and of course I was thinking about it because I knew the wedding was coming Friday, and I'm still thinking about it because the wedding was Friday. We, in our marriage vows, we have that phrase to each other as husband and wife: for better, for worse, for in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, till death do us part. But for God, that does not apply, does it? God cannot get any better, because he is absolute perfect, absolute truth. And he cannot get any worse for the very same reasons. But as human beings, we are far from perfect. And sometimes we can act on the for worse side of things. And hopefully most of the time we can be on the for better side of things in our marriages. So Psalm 78 here, 72 verses long. It talks about God's grace to Israel through their wanderings in the wilderness. It also talks about his judgment to Israel through those years. It goes from all the time when they came out of Egypt, the 40 years in the wilderness, into the promised land through the period of Judges, up even to when David, so you have King Saul, and then you have David, covers those hundreds of years in that one psalm. Please read it. But look, in verse 11, there, it's this phrase, they forgot. They forgot what God had done, the wonders he had shown them. In the 35th verse, which I read, then it says, they remembered. That's a good thing. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. We forget things, don't we? All the time. Some things that we forget are sort of minute. Like yesterday morning when we were heading out and we were at this point, we were in Rapid City and going to get breakfast somewhere. And my thoughts were on that breakfast and where the Burger King was there and how I was going to get into that. And I'm just cruising along. And all of a sudden, my wife says, you just ran a red light. I'm like, it is. It wasn't even turning yellow. It was solid red. And I went straight through it. I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you for your mercy. There. Of course, we get into the Burger King parking lot, and she says, do I need to drive? Yeah. So I told on myself so she didn't have to tell you. That was I didn't forget. Maybe that wasn't a forget. That was just totally spaced out. I don't even know what to say about it. Good night. About jumped out of my seat when she hollered there, though. They forgot what he had done. Boy, we don't want to get in that place, but we can. At times when we get in real hard spots in our lives or in our relationships, we forget of the miracles that God has done in our lives. Over the years, we forget the promises that he has fulfilled. I think in our nation right now, there is a large part of the nation that has forgot or is trying on purpose to forget the founding of this nation on God and his word and his principles. Well, they're wanting to rewrite history and get all of that out of there. That's a scary thing, a very scary thing. And I think we all realize that where we live. The founding of this nation was solidly upon God and his word, and the monuments and buildings in Washington, D.C. clearly show it, where scripture is inscribed over and over and over again. If you've ever been out there, you know what I mean. But verse 35, though, this is the important point, they remembered. God eventually got their attention. One way or the other. The unfortunate part is a lot of times he had to get their attention through judgment. And what does it take to get our attention as a nation? He knows. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. So in the Psalms, really, there's two main ways that word rock is used. One, it's a place of security and shelter. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. As a rock, he is that place of shelter and security. Psalm 71, I'm going to refer to several passages in Psalms. In this, Psalm 71, verse 1, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Here it is. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. That's who he is. As your rock, as your unchanging God and Father, he is a rock of refuge. When everything seems to be crumbling around and falling apart, and the plans that you had, whatever they might be, he is your rock. I was listening at one time to the Weather Channel on Sunday morning early when I was having my breakfast, and I don't know what part of the country it was in anymore. I just remember this phrase. The weatherman, he was saying, if you live in such and such part of this state of, we'll just say Tennessee, in this city, they'll even narrow it down almost to the streets or the highways. If you are between this interstate and this interstate, I'm telling you, you need to take refuge now. And what caught my attention was his next phrase. I even wrote it down that morning. And he said, it is my goal as a meteorologist to inspire people to get to a shelter in the time of a storm. And I listened. He said it again. It is my goal as a meteorologist to inspire people to get to a place of shelter in the time of a storm. And I said, that's my goal too. As a pastor, that's my goal too. That we know as God's children where to go and how to get there to that place of shelter in a time of storm. We got to know that. Nowadays, especially in the Midwest, I think, even as new homes are being built, very often, either there is a storm shelter specially built in the basement. I know some of you have that. Or I know another family in our church building a new house right now. We saw part of it as it was going up. They said, well, we don't actually have a storm shelter we're building, but we got these walls and this basement bedroom that are cement all the way around. So if we need it, it's there. That's naturally speaking, right? Go back to when a lot of us were kiddos. And especially in the country, I know the country church my dad had outside of Fairbury, Nebraska, when I was from almost 0 to 10 years old, there was a storm shelter down in the ground, right? And I did not like that place. Sort of give you the heebie-jeebies, you know, going down in there and they're full of cobwebs and spiders hanging and sometimes the salamanders running, you know, I don't ever remember having to go sit down there in a storm, but I remember many times having to go down there with my mom and or dad and helping to get the produce out of there, right? All they would store the vegetables in there to keep them cool and on, I don't remember the meat, some of you go back further for that kind of thing in your age. But we knew where it was, we knew how to get there, didn't we? Yeah, and even today in schools, they practice on the tornado drills with the kids when the siren blows, how to get there, where are we going to go? So if the storm comes, you know. And how much more in our spiritual lives. He is our rock. In him we hide. Psalm 71, it says, Lord, be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. The storms are coming, and we can't wait till the storm comes to think, where am I going? How am I going to get there? No, we got to know ahead of time. So I was thinking of this, you know, years ago, the phrase WWJD was so popular, wasn't it? It had bracelets and bookmarks and you name it, coffee cups and, oh, what would Jesus do? WWJD. Well, here's one for you, PPWW. Make that on a coffee cup, I guess. Prayer. That's number one, how to get there and stay there. Prayer. Second P is praise. When the storm is raging, praise him. When we don't feel like it, praise him. When fear's trying to overtake, praise him. The next W, his word. Go to his word, Psalms. I challenge you, if you want to read through the book of Psalms and find and count how many times God is referred to as your rock. I did once, just real quickly, 21 times, so don't hold me to that. I didn't do it thoroughly, just quickly through a concordance once. The last W, worship, that comes in with praise. PPWW, prayer, praise, word, worship. That's how you get into that place in the storm and how you stay there when it's raging all around. Second, that rock that he is a place of stability and strength. Stability and strength in our lives. This one, so I don't think I said earlier, but I have it in your outline. There's two different Hebrew words. That's why, did I put that number in there? I did, yeah. Those are the numbers in the Strong's Concordance, if you wonder. What's the number for? That's what it's about. If you don't care, don't worry about the number. This rock, I mean, it's talking about a sharp rock, a boulder, one that is large and solid. In other words, immovable and unchangeable. That's that word, immutability, again, that we looked. Psalm 18, verse 1, that was part of our responsive reading. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock. Two times right there. In whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. That's where we go. We have songs we sing about it. God, he cannot change. We can change, and we need to let him change us from the inside out by his Holy Spirit and by the working of the Word of God within us. That is how he changes us, one step at a time, day by day. In these verses here, Psalm 78, look at how back and forth the people of Israel were as he's telling them in this psalm. 78, verse 32, in spite of all this, in spite of all what? The fact that he had led him out of the Red Sea miraculously, the fact that he had provided water for him supernaturally, the fact that when they were grumbling, we don't have any meat, he brought quail into their camp until they gorged themselves on it and made themselves sick. In spite of all this, they kept on sinning. In spite of his wonders, they did not believe. Verse 34, New Living, I'm going to read it out of this. When God killed some of them, yeah, that was his judgment. The rest finally sought him. They turned back. He had their attention, didn't he? They repented and turned towards God. If we go back to 2001 in our nation when the Twin Towers were totally destroyed and the Pentagon hit and a terrible time, and of course, 2001, we were in Timber Lake up there on the Cheyenne River Reservation, so we didn't see this part so much, but I've heard from many, many friends around the country that the churches were full for a couple months. I thought, yeah. God had our attention for a couple months. That's sort of sad, isn't it? And then back to status quo. Verse 35, then they remembered that God was their rock. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God, you are our rock. We need to hide ourselves in you. We need to stand upon you when trouble comes, when the storms rage. We got to go to you. And if we're going to go to you in the storm, we got to know how to get there before the storm comes. Because if we don't know how to get there before, then usually we end up just in a panic when it happens. Verse 36, but then here we go. Flip-flopping back and forth. But then they would flatter him with their words, lying to him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Yet what? He remains the same. And I love the next verse, verse 38. Yet he was merciful. He was merciful. Aren't you glad? I've said many times this verse in Lamentations 3, and I know Michael Nuss had this as his favorite verse in confirmation in his faith statement. It's one of my favorites. His mercies are new every morning. They are. No matter how much we mess up or go astray, his mercies are new every morning. Thank God. Yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. Time after time, he restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. 39, for he remembered that they were merely mortal. That's us. We are dust, right? Gone in a moment like a breath of wind, never to return. We stand on this rock. When the storm's raging, there's some times where we get to be hidden in the rock. Rock of ages, cleft for me. We sing that song, let me hide myself in thee. There's times we know the storm's going, but we're hid in there and we're kept really from it, which is a great thing. We get to watch as it goes by. But there are other times where the storm is raging and we are out there smack dab in the midst of it, standing on the rock, and that's the only way we can stand. And we wonder, will it ever end? What's coming next? I think of, you know, Milo, he has been through it. We all know many times on our prayers and now in and out of the hospital, more and more frequent, and it wears. If you've had loved ones there, if you've been there yourself, you know very well how exhausting and overwhelming that can be. And how do we make it? Only on the rock, standing on the rock. Now, I think many times when I hear your stories, especially the ones with the livestock and examples that you share with me in the calving or lambing process, and I often think, you know, my examples are so puny compared to some of the things that you all deal with. I'm almost embarrassed to share them after the time goes. I know it just this within the last month, one of the guys was sharing with me about the cow that had, we'll just say twins, and you know, and then another cow that had a calf and it died, and he sort of texted the one night, well, I'm getting ready to skin a calf. You want to come help? I'm like, oh, are you serious? Well, he didn't answer for a while, and finally, no, I'm just telling you. And then after a while, I said, I really should come to see how this works. And then about an hour later, here comes, he didn't show me the calf that was skinned, thankfully, but he sent a picture of the calf that the hide was put on, and I said, and is the new mother taking it? Well, she's going to. She's going to. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, well, they're in this same small pen. She's going to. And I think of all of those things, you know, and my extent of storms naturally is praise the Lord for the new gutters on the parsonage that have not plugged yet. Of course, we haven't had any big rain yet either. But every year, and getting worse over the years, and I was looking back in some notes, and this was back to like 2013, and I had written down somewhere, yep, down, massive downpour, gutters plugged, southwest corner especially, that's always the one. This one I had written in my notes, Ann and Rachel out there holding the ladder. I'm up there trying to ram the garden hose down the downspout. It's pouring, lightning, everything. And I'm praying, Lord, please help this gutter to get unplugged as the storm is raging, so to speak. And I could not get that thing unplugged. And I was not swearing at it either, just for the record. And finally, here comes Johnny walking across the backyard with some other sort of tool. And he said, try this. And so I'm ramming that down, and sure enough, it breaks free, and whoosh, praise the Lord. The storm was raging, and God sends people to help us in the midst of it. He is our rock. Just in closing, this is the second verse of the last hymn we're going to sing, The Solid Rock. It says, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Sometimes we sing these hymns and we don't think about it. As the years go on, I tell you, the hymns become all the more rich to me and the thought and words in them. As kids, you just sort of sing them. What is that saying? When darkness veils his lovely face. To me, that's saying when the storm is so bad, the person is wondering, God, are you even here with us at this time? Do you even hear our prayers during this time? It seems like his face is veiled. No, he's there, right? When in those times, what's he saying? The next phrase, I rest on his unchanging grace. The rest of the verse, in every high and stormy gale. You know what a gale-force wind is? At least nowadays, what we consider it. 65 miles an hour or more. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Amen. I want to say one other thing here before I close in prayer. I meant to say this at Joys at Concerns, and it slipped my mind, but I'm happy to see Kylie Hollinsworth. We know her as Kylie Kessler with her, and I'm guessing little Oliver is with you today. Praise the Lord. That had to be a raging storm, spending a month in the NICU. So, I don't know if this, was this in the bulletin, the VBS? Is that where you saw that, the offerings? In the newsletter. So this year, the Christian Ed Committee decided just last Sunday, Kylie doesn't even know about this, I don't think. We always do offerings at night during that week, and those are going to come to you and your husband, Tyler, Kylie, this year. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, you are our rock and our refuge, and we praise you for it. Father, again, forgive us. There's times that we forget of your power. We forget of how you've answered prayers in the past. We forget of times when you've come through where you have made a way where there seemed to be no way. But Lord, in your mercy and your grace, you always draw us back that we can stand on you, our solid rock, that we can hide ourselves in you in the cleft of the rock. And so thank you, Lord. There's plenty of serious situations in our own congregation, in our community, going on, and we pray for them, that you draw them near to yourself and hide them in your wings and under your wings as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's stand and sing that, our closing hymn, The Solid Rock, 526.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. And as a prayer for our nation, we will sing, God Bless America.
Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies
to the oceans white with foam.
God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful music. Remember coffee hour afterwards if you'd like to join us.